A new book, Icons of Rock, In Their Own Words from Mango Publishing, is written by Jenny Boyd, ex-wife of Fleetwood Mac drummer Mick Fleetwood and popular session drummer Ian Wallace, former sister-in-law of George Harrison and Eric Clapton. In her young life, she spent around all of these musicians, and she had an opportunity to interview them in 1992 as part of her PhD dissertation on how the world's greatest musicians and producers created. This is her newest version and gone into much more detail on certain particular artists, but also introduced us to some brand new people that weren't in the business and some of whom weren't even alive when she did her original interviews. So we're really excited to get a chance to talk today to Jenny Boyd. And I want to say that you were a very good interviewer with a very unique relationship to some of your guests.
Well, thank you. Considering most of them were done 35 years ago.
You were married to one of them, or your sister was married to two of them. I mean, this gives you access to people in ways that most interviewees would never, ever have. And I was fascinated to learn that, did I read this right, you had 75 cassettes of these interviews that you carted around with you for years to keep them safe?
Yes, that's true. The sad bit is, because I carted these around with me for 35 years, big audio tapes, and I felt so protective of them that in the end, because I was going from traveling from place to place and I couldn't ask anybody to put them all into MP3, you know, it was too many. In the end, I destroyed them about 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, except for 8, which is George Harrison, Eric Clapton, Don Henley, Ringo, Graham Nash, Ravi Shankar, Tony Williams and Joni Mitchell. So that's why in this book we have the complete interview of those 5 people. And then what I've done is taken it out of the original book from 92 that was under chapters of peak experience or drugs and alcohol and put them all together. So you have Keith Richards and all the bits from the book have been put together. So you just look up Keith and then you see that. You don't have the complete interview, but you have a big chunk of it.
Oh, okay. Are you pleased with the way the book turned out?
I really am. And then we got these 4 new people that I did last year, mm-hmm. just to give the reader and me an idea of how different the music world is today compared to then, when I did the interviews between 1988 and 1990.
Right. There were some particular phrases that certain guests said in the interviews that I thought were really very cool. My favorite one is Don Henley, who said, "Songs just keep us company, that's all." I love that. And isn't
love
it the truth?
That. That's true. There were so many things, you know, as I was transcribing them all again, just, you know, last year when I was doing the book. Mm-hmm. Just, it still fills me with awe, you know. Joni Mitchell, what she says, and just it's timeless, beautiful, and it's, you know, it was such a different world then.
I was really struck by so many of the artists who were talking about transcendence. Eric Clapton in particular said music is transcendent and went on at some length about it. But many of them had the same kind of vibe going on, that creating music became a sort of an otherworldly sort of event, a creative high or a kind of a special space that they entered into.
Yeah, absolutely, which is what, when I asked them, you know, have you ever had the peak experience, which is psychologist Abraham Maslow in the 50s, I think, described what that is. And it's exactly what people call nowadays. They call it being in the zone, mm-hmm. you know, where things just come through you. And you know, you can be on stage and I think Graham Nash said this, you all sing the wrong verse at the same time because you become so connected in this high. Mm-hmm. And, you know, or if you're writing songs, words just come from nowhere. And you look at the song and you think, gosh, did I write that? You know, there is a real kind of sense of being like a channel, and they all talk about that.
Huey Lewis said songwriters have to get away from society so they can reflect on society. That's pretty profound, and I like the implications of that. That's that duality of being a musician, isn't it? That you have to be part of humanity, but you also have to be able to step away so you can look at humanity and say, this is what I think of what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. And also there's a sense of, they're like the forerunners of what's going on in our generation. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like the torchbearers. And they speak for the masses in many ways.
Were you surprised at how many of them, of the people that you talked to, it seemed like there were quite a few of them, a couple stuck out in particular, that had family members who were musicians. They weren't necessarily professionals, although in some cases they were, but many of them had family members that were musicians, but not necessarily in the kind of music that they ended up doing. Like Stevie Nicks' grandfather sang country and western, and Michael McDonald's dad was an Irish tenor. I found that really interesting how they were influenced by the music, even if they didn't embrace the same style, say.
Well, exactly. And Christine McVie's dad plays the violin.
Yes.
And but also another thing is that those musicians who had families that were musical, or parents, say, or families, they were the ones that got more in touch earlier in their lives than the musicians who actually had somebody else outside the home who taught them, to do their music.
Yeah.
At least encourage them with their music.
And that is not really a surprise. If you grow up in a home with music, it's just part of what you do and part of the air you breathe. I would think it makes it a lot easier to do that yourself. I grew up in a family of musicians, and we're all amateur musicians, but we all raise children who are musicians too.
Yeah, and how wonderful.
Yeah.
And how amazing that must be, I've often thought, to be playing with your family, to be playing an instrument. I mean, that's a connection.
Yes. Oh, indeed. And it is a great deal of fun. Most of the time when I get together with my brothers, it's in opportunities for us to, we don't live in the same states, but we get together and we play together and make music together. And it's like, even though we haven't seen each other physically for a year or two, when we play together, it's like no time has passed between it at all.
That's lovely. It's just another language,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it truly is.
Yeah.
The interviews with Ringo and Graham Nash and David Crosby, now I understand why they were much longer, but I will say also that I was really struck by, these are people that seem to always have such a cheery outlook and kind of lighthearted, but when you talked to them, you got them to open up, and they were really deep people too, and that was a lovely thing to read about.
Yeah, that's right. And I think what was a surprise to me, because originally, I was very shy and I was, mixed wise, and I'd go on the road and I didn't really talk to people because I was too shy and, all of this kind of stuff when I was younger. And but then, when I started drinking, then I kind of felt a little braver and sort of chat a bit more, and everybody was drinking, and then it got to the time when everybody was taking cocaine and all this sort of stuff. And so my, as I thought of musicians, was more that kind of way of thinking. So when I started interviewing them, suddenly I realized, the depth that there was there that I didn't know about.
Right.
And that was so surprising to me. I mean, say George, it was okay because, I knew him and he was just like a lovely older brother. But it was wonderful for me to open up these musicians that I had seen on one particular level, but also been totally inspired by their music and their songwriting.
I was struck by the fact that all of the Beatles had significant losses among their parents. I knew about Paul and John, but I was struck by learning about Ringo and George losses that they had, and how all of these guys got together and made such magnificent music and overcame these difficult early times. And I know is there anything else that you wanted to say that I didn't ask you?
Oh, so much.
Yes,
very nice to talk.
Well, we could have easily talked a couple of hours because the book is just full of great stuff. But thank you, Jenny. I appreciate you making time to talk to me today, for the guys at Premier giving us a little extra time to get to visit. Thank you so very much.
Oh, well, thank you.
We've been talking to Jenny Boyd, a 1960s fashion model, ex-wife of Fleetwood Mac drummer Mick Fleetwood and popular session drummer Ian Wallace, former sister-in-law of George Harrison and Eric Clapton, both of whom were married to her sister. So she spent much of her life in the proximity of musical and cultural influencers, especially the Beatles and Fleetwood Mac. That allowed her access to some of the world's most recognizable musicians. And her new book, Icons of Rock, In Their Own Words from Mango Publishing, is available now. For WTBF, I'm Doc Kirby.